Glad to have Dr. Bennett with us from Australia, our church missionary. And we're going to continue for a little while the message we began this morning, things that I have learned. And then after that, maybe there's time for question and answers. Turn it back over to Dr. Bennett, right ahead. I got the next question. We're also. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, it's hard after that good meal, but we will struggle through it. Open your Bibles again to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll just look at that verse 11 again. It amazes me that we are never through learning. The Lord has something for us to learn. And the Apostle Paul, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. But later Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is probably his departure letter. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, well, in verse 5, and watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Endure afflictions. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Win souls. Seek to win the lost. Make full proof of thy ministry. All of us have a ministry. Of course, he's talking to this pastor, to Pastor Timothy. But if we put it in to all of us, you have a ministry. If you're a mom, you're have a ministry to your children, to your husband. If you're a husband, father, you have a ministry to your wife and to your children. And we all have a ministry to others. It's not just the preacher that has a ministry, but we all have a ministry. We have a little Sunday school over home. God hasn't given us a lot of children, but three of the five are Bennett children. Amen. And they're of my blood. And they're sweetest little things. I guess I'm partial, aren't I? But the poor little kids have a real problem, though. They've got a father that is an American Australian, and they've got grandparents that speak American, and they've got a mom that speaks Australian. And on the other side, her dad came from England, and even though he went over there as a young boy, he still sounds English. And Nan, she's Australian. So here you got these kids that are around us right now. They're living in our house. That's what we're going back to. They're building a new home, so we allowed them to take care of our house while we're gone, and they'll be there until their house is built. But anyway, they speak English, American. American, Australian, along that line. But anyway, there's a ministry to all of us. And so Grandma teaches these little ones in Sunday school. And that's a real ministry. You just don't know what God's... I remember Mrs. Burkheiser, that she was my teacher in the little one-room schoolhouse that I went to for some time. And she goes to the church I got saved in. I said, did you ever think I'd be a preacher? She said, no. In fact, I don't think she ever thought I'd make it to get out of school alive. So there's a ministry. And she's, 90-some years old now. We saw her last month. Notice verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. For I am now ready. So Paul said, I have learned. Now he's saying, I am ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. His graduation day has come. And Paul had learned all through his life various things. You wonder what kind of lessons. Well, we discussed that a little bit. He went through all sorts of things. And so he was ever learning. And so I trust that as you and I go through life until the Lord calls us home, that we're students. Students of the Word. Students of circumstances that they won't get us down. You know, there are things that come into our lives. I cannot imagine my wife someday, as nice of a husband as I am, her getting up one morning and saying, I'm done. I can't imagine that. Well, I can imagine that because if I know myself, but it'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it? And it'd be an awful thing if I got up one day or came home one day and said, I'm through. Or if you just threw the towel in because people don't treat me right. You know, I've been in the ministry long enough and I know that everybody doesn't like what I have to say or where I stand. And I understand that sometimes we as ministers, preachers, can grate on people. But, you know, and people are going to be offended by the gospel, but let's trust that they're not offended by us as in our personality or the way we're approaching them, but try to be kind in all things. Well, I've learned some things, and this is another thing I have learned. I've learned that God's Word never changes. And that brings us down to why we met last week, is that they're always changing. And I forget what edition of the Greek text we had in Bible college, but it was 22 perhaps, I'm not sure, but now they're into 28. So they're always changing. They're coming up with new English versions. Part of it is for money. But God's Word never changes. Now they accuse us of our Bible having been changed, but Dr. Waite's done a study on this. I don't know when he has time for this, but he listens to the Bible and he reads it as he's listening, and he has put it in a book that they have changed some spelling, but not the sound, not the words. You know, the Old English, I forget where I was the other day, but they have a 1611. Maybe it was here, and I was trying to read that. It's hard to read. So, but the words are still the same. It's the Old English that you and I don't read anymore. But God's Word has not changed. They brought over from those original words and brought them over into our English language in such a way that God didn't inspire those translators of that day. He didn't move them in the way that He moved Paul to write and Peter to write, but He certainly had His hand upon them that we have the most accurate and the most faithful Word of God in the English language, that we can hold it up and say, this is the Word of God in my language. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Now, times change. Times change. I remember we lived up from my grandparents and my grandparents. I don't think my grandfather was on my dad's side. I loved him. I used to ride the tractor with him out in the fields. And if there was anyone that I was probably close to, it was my grandfather. But I don't think grandfather was saved. But anyway, he and grandma gave a profession of faith and was saved. But anyway, they came up and picked us up for church. We all went to church together in this little 1954. At that time, it was new. But we'd all crowd in there. And it was a three-speed on the column and all of this. And it didn't have the bucket seats. Times change. Today, we have a little fancier cars. No air conditioning. It was four windows. It was 480, I guess they call it. Four windows down, 80 mile an hour. And that just kept you cool. But today we turn the air conditioner on, we have climate control, so times change. And we don't mind that. I don't mind some things changing. People change. But the Word of God. And how do we hide it in our heart? If you're always getting the newest version, how would you ever hide that in your heart? Now that's what they use against us and against our Bible. Well, that's what you're accustomed to. Well, as much as they change, and there are always those on the other side, and I guess that's what it is, this side against that side or whatever, is that if they're always changing, you can't hide it. You can't just get it down into your heart. You're always changing. Psalm 119, verse 89, Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. If God has settled it in heaven, He certainly has settled it for us here upon earth. Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We may trust the light that God has given us. So the Word of God. Now, I don't want to take up too much more time, but I don't know if I ever shared with you, but I think I confused my letters here, or my pages. But I'll just go to this next one. I know what's wrong. I didn't turn it over. If I follow my own page, I'd know. 1 Peter 1:25, But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. I have quite a few more, but let me jump to number 10. Whew. From 5 to 10, boy, that's preaching along pretty quick, isn't it? I've learned personally there are enemies of Christ and of grace. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 and 19. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, these folk that are out there, some of them are brethren in the Lord. They know the Lord Jesus. But there's others that have, well, they're within what we call Christendom, but they deny various doctrines, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the atonement, and so on. That ought to make us weep. They're leading people down the primrose trail to eternity without Christ, weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. I used to write, I haven't written letters to the editor for some time, so I'll just read a few of these, because there are enemies, enemies of the cross. These are answers to some of the letters that I have written. These were in our local newspaper from down home. And the local newspaper puts, you know, how they put a little heading at the top of the letters to the editor. They've changed their format a little bit. It's a little harder to find them and read them. But this is from 2000. Sir, I am writing this letter in response to the shame and sadness David Bennett expressed at hearing Buddhists were performing at a Christian church. I had written about some Buddhists that were performing at a uniting church in Sydney. And it's quite a long letter, but down near the middle, at the beginning of a new millennium, the need for interfaith dialogue is now an indispensable aspect of world politics upon which world peace depends. I am neither Christian, I can read that, nor Buddhist, but a Baha'i who therefore sees both faiths as one of many different paths to the eternal God. Well, that's one letter. This is one from 2000, February 2000. This is from the local Catholic priest. And he and I were on the radio together. When we had Talk Back Radio, the man asked me and this Catholic priest, and also on the phone he had a Muslim from Sydney. And through the interview, the Catholic priest agreed more often with the Muslim than he did with me. But he says, it is unusual for, I had written a letter. They had a Catholic relic. You know, you cannot have, well, you who were Roman Catholic know that you cannot have a Roman Catholic church without a relic of a saint. It has to be under the altar. And they were traveling the country of Australia, had been through the United States with this relic of this Saint Teresa, not Teresa, but Teresa. Anyway, I'd written about that, and I also went and took some pictures as it came through town. He said, writes this, it is unusual for members of different Christian traditions to enter into public disagreement these days. That's kind of sad too, isn't it? Yes. However, I would like to comment on David Bennett's criticism of the Buddhist monks' visit to the Pitt Street Uniting Church in Sydney. I do so as a means of showing not all Christians have the same narrow point of view on dialogue with other religions. You talk about narrow. If he was truly following the Catholic religion, you talk about narrow, he'd be more narrow than I. It goes on to say, Jesus said, whosoever will. He wouldn't say that, would he? It goes on to say in section 2, the Catholic Church rejects nothing of what is true and holy in these religions. Can you believe that? It has a high regard for the manner of life and conduct, the precepts and doctrines, which although differing in many ways from its own teaching, the Catholic Church, nevertheless often reflects a ray of that truth which enlightens all men and women. Well, he goes on to say a lot of other things. We won't read that, but let's see. This is by another person. He's the pastor of the Uniting Church in Wellington. He really got upset. He wrote in his letter, Pastor Bennett encourages people within the Uniting Church to protest about Buddhist monks taking part. Those Buddhist monks, they're liked. And if you write about them, you're not liked or against them. Taking part in an event in the Pitt Street Uniting Church. I'm sure that rather than being concerned, most Uniting Church people can celebrate the reality that we are breaking through the barriers of religious intolerance. That's what you are if you don't agree with all these things. What did Jesus say? We mentioned it this morning, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus, did he break through intolerance? Oh, I suppose he did. He wasn't tolerant, was he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So anyway, he said, oh, here, but we are not bound by, but what we are not bound by is a fear-based religion which assumes every word in the Bible, particularly the King James Version from which Pastor Bennett quotes, I thought that was unique, is the actual Word of God and must be treated as though it transcends time and culture. Can you believe that? He's pastor of a people. And where do we think these people will, if they follow that, where do we think they're going to go? That's not being cruel, but that's being truthful, isn't it? If you have a man up front that doesn't preach the truth, unless God intercedes and they read the Bible, sadly, many people go to church and never read the Bible. That's true of almost any church. That's true of a Bible-believing church. You know, we should not just accept what the preacher or the minister or whoever's up front, what they say. You know, we need to honor them in a certain way. But what did the Bereans do? They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And you don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to know that as well. This is also from the, and I'll close with this, from the Catholic priest. Being a member of the Catholic Church allows far greater freedom of thought and expression than that experienced currently in Australian political parties. Well, that's not really, that has to do with Muslims and Christians that contributed much. He's just defending dialogue between the Muslims and the Christians, supposedly Christian denomination. This one's from a gentleman that's got a lot of letters behind his name doing with religion. And I'll close with this one. As one who has studied theology at university level and considers himself part of the great liberal theological tradition, I find the previous and current letters by Dr. Bennett offensive, bigoted, and distasteful, especially in light of his repeated attacks on the views of Father Carl Mackinder. I never attacked him at all. You can read my own letters. I never attacked him. Notwithstanding this, however, Dr. Bennett is overzealous in quoting Bible verse and text. That's what they don't like. They don't like... I've never met these people, so, and they've never met me. But in quoting the Bible, in order to discredit those who disagree with him. Indeed, this handling of biblical text reminds me of the shallow preaching of Billy Graham and Jerry Falwell. In his correspondence, Dr. Bennett avers that John 10:33-40 teaches that Jesus was God. Yeah. Well, you know where he comes from. Surely there's another interpretation. Well, I know there's another interpretation. I'm not that stupid. There's all sorts of interpretations out there. I do not believe that the text proves that Jesus was God. But rather, the writer of the Gospel is pointing out that Jesus had a deep, abiding, and personal relationship with God. He closes, he has some other derogatory statements, but he closes, in closing, may I suggest that Dr. Bennett seek theological enlightenment by reading some of the books by, and you'll know this guy, John Shelby Spong. Remember Spong?
<Yes.
laughs> I've read some of Spong just to see what Spong believes. Now, learn. Paul says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We don't go out to make enemies, but if you preach the gospel, quote the Bible. Now, and when you're writing, I try to use words that aren't irritating, but it does. Bible verses, that irritates people if they don't believe the Bible. But as I said this morning, we're in this classroom. Remember back, you may not, but when I first started the school in the one-room schoolhouse, we had these little desks. You had the little thing that held your pencil, and you had a little ink well, and you had a little thing that you slid your book in, and the chair came down, you sat down, and you sat down in that little chair. Now that's all changed. We don't have that anymore. So our classroom changes as we grow and mature in life, you know, as we grow up. I couldn't even sit in one of those today. Why? Because I've changed. But my classroom has changed. And now I'm getting towards the end of my life, and my classroom has somewhat matured, but I'm still learning. I'm still trying to learn how to operate with people. And I'm still learning how I can accept what people have to say. You know, even though someone may write or say something that I may not agree with, I need to learn to be able to accept that. And even from, you can learn from any man. And perhaps I can learn how to put something into words that will perhaps reach that person in a different way. Not compromise, but to reach them in a different way. So until the Lord takes us home and we graduate to heaven, we're always learning. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So, open it up for questions, Pastor.
Just to you. Why don't you get over here and I get behind?
You'll get behind me?
I'd rather have you behind me than inside of you.
Okay, you go right here. Come right here.
Come right
here. Yeah. Okay, we have time for questions and answers. We want to have you to see. If those are people outside the internet have questions, simply write us questions at bftbc.org. Questions at bftbc.org. Or you can give me a call. 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. First question. Let me ask a question first, Eddie, and then I'll have Dr. Bennett. You've been a missionary for now over 35 years in Australia. You came with one mission board, Associated Baptist World Evangelism, and you switched. Just give a brief answer. What made you to switch?
Well, some of it had to do with the Bible. Translation and also ecclesiastical separation.
Alright. Yes, Eddie?
Yes, I have a comment, sir. You said, about churches, certain churches, like reading from different versions of the Bible. I've been to quite a few churches that I left. I never went back again. They didn't even read from the Bible. Now, I like this church because they read it both for the Bible and the church I went to, my Presbyterian church, you read by the Bible. But a lot of churches I've been to, I'm telling you, 90% of them didn't even read from the Bible. And the people sitting there, they didn't even know any better.
Do you have a question, Eddie?
Better have that's a comment. Okay. Now, my question is, this has nothing to do with it, but you used to go to school where you used the inkwell with the, when you dipped the pen in the inkwell?
Question is, did you go to a school with an inkwell?
Well, it had an inkwell, but we didn't dip our.
I was going to say, if that was true, you must be old. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you.
Okay, I'm old. Dan, go ahead. Dan's going to go. Pastor Dan.
Can you, I understand what you mean by ecclesiastical separation. I understand what you mean. But what is ecclesiastical separation? And when is it necessary to practice?
Well, that's the whole thing. I think it's up to every man to determine how far they are willing to accept certain things. Bangladesh, under the mission that I was with, was quite liberal. They did their translation through the United Bible Society.
Right.
And it was quite a liberal translation. On our field, some of the guys were using the NIV. Their own relationship within their churches sometimes were a little more than what I would myself. What I'm saying is, I don't know if you used the illustration or one preacher I heard use it and I thought it's been good. If Pastor and I hold hands and Kathy and I hold hands and the rest of us all hold hands, but if there's one in the crowd, there's also this illustration. I'll use this differently. Say, I'll use this lady here. I don't know. Would my wife appreciate it if she was here and this lady was here and I was in the middle and we were just holding hands? That's what we're doing if we're with a group. We're holding hands. And my wife wouldn't appreciate it too much if I continued to hold her hand after I let go of her hand. There's a time that we've got to let go of someone else's hand to hold the hand of the one that we love and the one that we're going to abide by. And if we're going to abide by the scriptures, we need to be... Oh, I'm sorry. I got away from you, didn't I? If we're going to abide by the scriptures, we continue to hold the hand of the Bible and separate from the one that's no longer... It's a tough question. And so there's people out there, perhaps, that we wouldn't go to their church that are Bible-believing people. They preach another, they preach from the New Version, one of the New Versions. But like they even said at our Dean Burgon Society, and I agree with this, there's enough in those versions someone can be led to Christ. But that doesn't give allowance to use the wrong version. We need to use the Bible, the correct. Like my wife said this morning, I'll use it probably a lot now. We're not on the same page, and we're not also in the same book. So I hope I didn't make that confusing. But
that answer that, Dan? Before the other question, I just want to welcome from Jack Wagner. He's here from Newark, Delaware. All the way from Newark, Delaware. Mm-hmm. He's the one to ask the question. What, the 900 part time? Mm-hmm. I think you're a correspondent on email, very nice.
Yeah,
I saw it.
I've been up there before.
Yes, sir.
Not signed to tell.
No, he's been every court just visiting. Yeah. So he's here and, from Newark, Delaware. Oh, another question. Any other question? Yes, back over here, Jack.
John. Any of the churches you've worked with or been under your care, have there been instances where there was a certain church member, certain people there, and again, for certain issues like the pop version of the issue, have tried to openly challenge the direction that you're leading the church?
Well, anyway, in your church, with a different version, change the direction, challenge you as a pastor of the church?
No, I've not had anyone.
Okay. Oh, another question. Has anyone, what's your question?
They talk about holding hands. See, to each his own, but when I pray, I never hold nobody's hand when I'm saying grace, because I've been in circles before now. I don't hold nobody's hand because I found that I was paying more attention on the hand than the prayer. It's just this person holding my hand too hard.
So what's your question, Eddie?
Well, that's just a comment.
What's your question?
Well, I'm just making a comment, you see, because the same person hold my hand too hard, it's the same person hold my hand too soft, it's this person's hand clammy. See, my attention's on the hand, and not on the prayer.
That was an illustration, though. What is your question?
Well, but that's what I had to say.
Okay,
that,
no question. No question. Okay.
No question.
Right. Other questions? Yes, back there. Tammy.
You were starting to work on establishing, will you and members in Dubbo
to
work at establishing a radio station? How's that work coming?
How's the work coming on radio station?
Well, it's slow. I was going to quit, and I'm on the committee, but I've given up any leadership. When we first started it, some people that have heard me on the radio or read my letters, I don't know, some of the opposition that was written to the newspaper was, one, I'm a Christian. To some of my positions on Christianity, on the Bible, and so on. So that was put in the paper, and that I was trying to start a Christian radio station. There is a religious radio station that goes by Christian, Radio Rema, and it's already there. So it may be hard for us to get a license because they are already there with a community radio license. But anyway, I stepped down, and a couple of other guys have taken over. Nobody wants a president, but we've got a vice president, secretary, treasurer. And they've taken over, and it's not gone much further, but I'm hoping that they can get it up and running eventually. And on Sunday nights, I can have a program of scripture and a song on Sunday nights. I'm going to, in Dubbo, if we get it up and running, to try to start it without preaching or anything, but just some good Christian songs, which I don't think most people would be against. They probably wouldn't. The older people might listen. But then some scriptures read and things like that. But we're a long way. The one gentleman that took over as vice president, he's in business, so he has more contacts than I, and he's talking to the, we have what's called the Men's Shed, and they have a place in also the Veterans Building, and so he's talking to them about a place or a room where we can at least set up the test and run our testing, which would be broadcast. So there will be a lot of secular on it. That's one thing I like about the radio station I'm on now. Everything's secular except for the 5 hours I've got. So right now we're a long way from being up and running, but
hopefully. I'd just like to ask a question also. When we started our church here, we had the doctrinal statement of using the term General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. We've since separated from them because of the various things. Where do you see the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches heading, and what is your opinion of it?
Well, I still have one church that's in the fellowship, and it's a conservative GRBC church. But I think even reading my books, especially on music, we can tell where they're heading. Most of them are heading with the ESV and contemporary music. And so they're separation. They're working with a lot of different groups. They're working with it together for the gospel and the gospel coalition in some areas. So that's where the separation bit comes in as well, is that ABWE is heavily involved. They have Ed Stetzer with Southern Baptist coming in, speaking to the missionaries, which I would have been a part of, listening to. There again, you can learn from any man, but I mean, the Southern Baptists are not a group that we would want to be associated with. So,
all right, here's a question from Jacob. All right, go, Jacob, what you got? Jacob Romer from Texas. I need it. Dan, how do you put the volume up on my phone?
It's on the side.
Which side, right or left?
On either side. So on the speaker on the...
We'd come and do a fire.
I'm not sure it's left or right.
I'm just saying it's been... There, I see it there. It's way down low. Okay, actually, I found it. Thank you. Okay, Jacob, go ahead. I couldn't hear you. Start with repeat, please.
I wrote this down on a scrap piece of paper. I don't know if it was his or not. Is it
WFMZ.com? The paper,
WFMZ.com.
What is
it?
What's the question again? Repeat, Jacob.
The name of that radio station he's trying to start up, is it WFMZ.com?
We don't have any letters yet. We've not been approved yet.
No letters yet. Okay, anything other?
I'll put it in a prayer letter or online. It'll be on our website once it gets up and running.
Tell them what he's calling.
Okay, thank you. I said we can't. I really don't know what I can say about it, so
okay.
I'll just leave it there.
Thank you. Let's wave to Jacob. Wave Jacob in Texas. Okay, thank you, Jacob. Questions at bftpc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. Yeah, Brother Jack.
In Australia, do they have a constitutional right to speak free speech and religion, like our First Amendment? Do they have the laws? What about the status of it in Australia?
Yes, we have the same as you do. Probably more, as much so as what you do here in the States. But everything's moving. I mean, you know, with the immigration and all, and with the push on the same sex, it's going to encroach. Depending on the government, right now we have a conservative government and the prime minister is against same-sex marriage and he's a Roman Catholic, but I think under that type of government, but once we change another government again, who knows what we'll get.
Yeah,
fine.
Go ahead, let's wait.
Clarification, did you say that our constitution in our church here, whatever the name of our church is, Bible Church, this is the GRBC?
No, I merely said, honey, when we started our church,
this church,
15 years ago,
yes,
we made reference to the General Association of Regular Baptist Church and some of the doctrinal position of the church. Now we no longer have any connection whatever with them. We look in the first edition of our Constitution now. We no longer have it in it. It's gone.
But
originally,
because it was
a regular Baptist, it was a Baptist fundamental church that we started, and we had the doctrinal position, yes, the doctrinal statement. We made mention of the General Association of Regular Baptist Church no longer in anything that we have to do. All right? I clarify that. And then
two questions.
Yeah.
What's the call letters of the Gilgander? Is the Gilgander station?
Yes.
Are you in Gilgander, right?
War FM.
FM.
WAR.
War FM, is it?
Yeah.
War FM, WAR.
98.
Just three letters, WAR, right?
WAR FM 98.9.
They can be heard on the internet. Right?
They can be heard on the internet.
So we've heard.
If you put Gilgander in.
They have interesting programming before you come on. And, I mean, I don't use the word. It's not so, really interesting. It's just music is really odd.
A lot of country music. There are some rock and roll guys on there.
From other questions.
Oh, they have. We have a satellite connection too, so if no one else is on, they hook up to the satellite, and there is a letter.
Maybe that word is coming from the United States.
That's why I'm on. Yes, it's from the United States. So I've taken over that hour, that because community, even though probably a majority, if not all of them, are unsaved, they don't want to hear about. I have listened to this lesbian, gay program. They'd throw me off the air if I was as bold in presenting the gospel as what they are, bold in talking about their lifestyle. But anyway, I'm on in place of that. I'm on at 12 o'clock on Fridays, 12 to 4, and then Sundays we're on from 12:30 to 2 o'clock.
Okay, other questions?
But you have to back up 15 hours.
All of you are welcome to ask questions. Yeah, John, you got another one.
Would you say the Christian sense is worse here in America, worse than Australia, or about the same?
Probably worse here, but it's moving. I mean, they're a force. One of our senators is in the lesbian and has a partner, and they adopted. And now we've got a gay man that's in the senator in the House. I'm not too sure. So they're getting more prominent.
Other questions,
Tammy?
Would you explain for people who maybe don't know? You're still at the church. You have a church in Gilgandra and one in Dubbo. Do you still have them working?
No. The Gilgandra was very small. We had an Aboriginal gentleman that came and asked me to come down there. And Abel was quite a gentleman. He was an old Aboriginal. He had gotten saved. Didn't know how to read, but learned how to read from the King James Bible. He had been a drunk, and he used to sleep out in the park, and he lost, I forget what, fingers because of the frostbite on his hand that he got. Okay, and anyway, he got saved, and I think he heard me on the radio, didn't he? And so he said, would you come down and have a Bible study? So anyway, through that, he and his wife came. Some other Aboriginals started coming, and Jim and Margaret Ogden came. We went out to visit them with Abel. He took us out there, and they had a property out where we went to visit, and they started coming. They were Anglicans. Anyway, they submitted themselves to baptism. They were believers. And so Abel and his wife then moved. That's the thing happens. Everybody moves away. And then Jim and Margaret sold their property, and they moved to Bathurst, and we had no one. So I continue the radio, but we're not paying rent anywhere, because until we get at least three or four couples again, we're not going to be paying rent. So anyway, I rock drive down for the radio program. So, but we're still in Dubbo.
Other questions? Go ahead. Anybody? Dan, have another.
Well, this might be this one, another one I want to ask before the other one. If you think we're going, not related whatsoever. But you mentioned the GRBC. I'm not sure if you would know the history. They started in 1932. The status of the Northern Baptist Convention in 1914. Just looking back 100 years ago, we compare the GRBC's status right now, today in 2014, compare that to the Northern Baptist Convention in 1914, how would they compare? I mean, would they be similar, or would they still be more, for lack of a better word, more conservative, even 100 years later than the Northern Baptist Convention was?
Well, in the very beginning, you would have had Ketchum and those guys in there.
In 1932, that's right.
Yeah. But so they would have been in the Northern Baptist, and that's why they separated, is because of the apostasy within that. So at one time, the Northern Baptist would have been what I would imagine the back in the 50s and early 60s, the GRBC was. So I think the GRBC, they haven't gone totally the way that the Northern Baptists were in the 30s. Because I can't say they're apostate, that they were so liberal that Ketchum and those men.
But in the teens, 1919, I mean, I don't know. I can't say. I don't.
Let me sum up this question. I think 2032, do you think where's the GRBC going to end up?
Well, I think it'll eventually be what?
That's what he's asking.
Yeah.
Just the same as the apostates.
See, it all starts in the schools. So the schools were rotten in many a time before 1932. Our schools began, Cedarville was always, I heard, and I didn't know much about Cedarville, they always said that, and Grand Rapids were more liberal than Faith. So they're more liberal now. I don't know where Faith is on some of this, but moving. The Grand Rapids and that, they're gone. I don't think there's any salvage in any of that, so.
Alright, other questions? Yes, fine.
What is the life as you as a missionary in Australia? What is your day like and your week like and your month like? And what do you do?
Well, it's pretty much like, well, I don't know if it's like yours, but we're not on the, well, we are. I try to make a few things and tracks.
You know, what do you do?
You hand out tracks. Basically, that's about what we can do. We can put tracks in letter boxes. I know a lot of people in town, so if you go to town, we talk to people along the way. Mom and I used to do a lot more door knocking than what we've been doing right now. But you can do letter tracks in the letter boxes or tracks in the letter boxes anytime you want. And Sunday school, the radio programs, it takes me, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours, I guess, maybe try and get my radio program the way I want it. But track distribution, it's different, but it's much the same.
All right, John.
Another. Bible College Park Summit, they've got a lot more liberal, too.
Who?
That's just Bible College Park Summit.
Yeah.
All right.
Any other questions? What is your position on music, Dr. Bennett, and what do you think of the contemporary Christian music?
Where's that book at?
You have a book back there, Bob?
Oh, that's okay. Just have them read the book.
Give me
that's
the title of the book.
CCM's not the problem, it's the symptom.
It's the symptom, yeah. That's the book.
The way I see it, CCM comes in because the church is just getting weak on separation.
How do you define separation?
Well, separation is, ecclesiastical separation is separating from anyone who is... has gone astray from the doctrines that we've always held to, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, those positions. If you want to get more strict in that, then we would also hold to those in separating in a fellowship, working fellowship position. Now you have to understand that, I don't know about Dr. Waite, but you know, there are some people that you like, you can be friends with, even if they don't use this Bible, but they're born-again believers. And so we can be friends, we can talk one with another and have coffee with one another. But as far as a working relationship, even in missions or as a local church, you just wouldn't do that because it sends a mixed message to people. It's a hard thing. Well, this explains basically what I see is going on. And I, Luann, is it? I discuss in here basically what she was saying at dinner. So Luann needs to write a book on that as well. But this deals with Getty. It deals with the General Association of Regular Baptists. And I forget the year, but it's a quite a recent year that they, in their Baptist bulletin, they gave a survey of the songs that were popular in the GRBC. And a lot of them were CCM. Getty, Townsend, those people. So... as a missionary, too, we have dropped churches who have gone to use, well, you know, one church, and it was going to go use the New American, whether it went that way, but the pastor told me it was. Another church we dropped was one that went with the CCM. We were there for a meeting, and they had the praise and worship team up there, and all the rest of it. We're not comfortable with that. So
tell the people what CCM is. Some of them don't understand.
Contemporary Christian music.
What is it?
Contemporary Christian music.
Oh, right. What does CCM?
That means contemporary Christian music.
Tell her what that's about.
Have you bought my book?
No.
Okay.
Tell her what that's
about. You can pay Dr. Waite later, okay?
we'll give it to her. Give it to her free, that's right. Describe.
Well, contemporary Christian music is usually written by men who have an ecumenical flavor. And if you read the book, you'll find that some of them gathered together in England, and they belong to this, I forget, I'd have to read my own book, but this group, and its whole flavor is Roman Catholicism, charismatic, And if you don't care about doctrine, that's the thing right there. That's killing it too. This separation is going downhill, and doctrine is no longer important. People say, well, we don't fight over baptism. I'm not going to fist fight over baptism, but I'm not going to be in fellowship with those, in a working fellowship with those that do not hold to biblical immersion. The doctrine of the Bible. We hold to this Bible and the Textus Receptus. So you wouldn't be in working fellowship with those that didn't hold to these scriptures and other doctrines as well.
I had a girlfriend that had me attend a Gloucester County Community Church. They had, you know, the words on the wall.
Yeah.
And everybody was, you know, dancing around and holding hands. The church was full.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about the Bible, nothing like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I
see, you're trying
that.
To... I guess I look at the words on the wall and I say, okay, is there anything wrong with a song on the wall? Well, it's hard to prove anything except the handwriting of Belshazzar there on the wall. But it's a heading somewhere. They're doing it for a purpose. They're doing it for a reason. It gets people, then you start putting the sermon or start putting the Bible on the wall. You start using a new version. It's a beginning of a new way.
It was dancing and jazzing
yeah.
up. And,
well, that too. I put a picture, sent Dr. Wade a picture. I don't know if it's in this book, but the GRBC. Why do we raise our hands? There's only one place I know of in the New Testament about raising the hands, and it was the Timothy. Holy hands in prayer, and I believe it was the men. Why do they do it? There was a GRBC, it was in the Baptist Bulletin, and generally speaking, it's the women with their hands up like this. Now, down south, they do it. I'm not saying anything against them, but I'm just saying it's a leading to the downgrading of our teaching. That's charismatic. Usually, that's a charismatic sign. So I think it's a breaking down of the barrier because it's together for the gospel, this gospel coalition. You have C.J. Matheny, or I forget his name, but he's a charismatic, and he's in both of those groups. You have the Calvinists. You have this charismatic Calvinist. You have the breaking down of doctrinal, what we hold to, of what we used to hold to. And
But we're supposed to be in reverence to our Lord.
We're supposed to. But there again, I believe people need to read the scriptures. If we got down to it and saw what the New Testament church was in the book of Acts, far from what we'd even begin to see today. And I'm not saying don't have any musical instruments, but the musical instruments was the beginning of what we're seeing in all of this. They'll argue with you. Oh, what's wrong with having this or that? You have a piano. Well, it's like Spurgeon. He wouldn't even allow a piano to have an organ there now. But he said, why cover up the... I forget how he put it, only as Spurgeon could. Why cover up the beautiful voice that God has made? And that's so true. You know, when all the instruments take over, you can't hear. Have you been in the church that... they have the up on the wall, and you have the praise team. I've noticed this in the one church that we had that supported us. Nobody sang. Nobody sang. It was up on the wall, but you had the praise team and all that goes with it. But hardly anybody sang, did they? They didn't sing. And people are not becoming, they're not a singing people because they're singing these new contemporary songs. They know the Amazing Grace. They know the old songs that mean something.
Others that perhaps haven't asked a question yet.
Yeah,
No, other new ones. But see, anybody new that has not asked a question would like to ask a question before we get repetition of others. Anybody else? Questions at bfbbc.org or 856-261-9018, our internet people. Anybody else want to ask a question that hasn't asked one before? Nobody. Nobody has any questions at these others. Okay, go ahead. Kathy Wu. Great.
I had a question, but other people ask the same question. How's the Australian like when you witness Dr. Door give away the track? Are they likely American? I mean, all Americans are different also too, but is it a little bit different?
And there's
some
track,
difference between Korean and Japanese. We look alike, but
When you're not Doors, are they same as Americans?
We look alike, like the average Australian. We don't sound. Like
you mean do they treat you differently? What do they say?
Yeah,
how do they react? How do they react?
Well, some of them are gracious. I mean, out in the country, that's where we're at. In the city, we had various responses out in the country, especially in the letter boxes. I've had tracks sent to me because our post office box is on there, and don't leave another one at this address and various things. And we've had people call because my mobile number's on there. But if you're knocking on doors, few doors they shut off, they slam it in your face. Some of them just say what you've got to say and get out of my face. One-on-one, most are somewhat gracious and listen to you. But I haven't had a lot of receptiveness to it. First thing is, and I haven't adapted myself to this, first thing, what do you do as an American? I'm a Baptist preacher. Well, that pretty well shuts the door right there because they don't want to talk to you. Well, you're a preacher, and what's different between the Baptists? I guess that could open up doors, but never has yet. But the Australian, they're like Americans. I mean, I find Americans basically the same way. So, I mean, I haven't lived here for so long, I don't know, but...
Okay, now, one person asked a question, never asked before. Are there others that would like to ask a question, but you haven't asked one yet? We're going to hold off a little bit. Well, here's
what we did also, my wife and I, my wife has made little blankets.
Here's a question too. Okay, Rob from Chicago.
Hey, Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hi, good to see the bandits there. I just wanted to call and say hi, and after reading those letters, you don't have to be concerned that what the Lord said, woe unto you, that all men shall speak well of you. And those letters were really enlightening, and I get a lot of the same answers from people, so.
And you're a gracious man, Rob.
I try to be, but let me give you a quote from A.C. Dixon I think you'll appreciate. Above all things, I love peace, but next to peace, I love a fight. And I believe the next best thing to peace is a theological fight.
That's right.
And that was by A.C. Dixon, and I'm glad to see you're still in the fight. I'm real sorry I didn't get to see you, and hopefully I'll be able to see you sometime soon.
Amen. Okay.
And I just have one question, too. I'm just interested, since we're talking about CCM and ecumenicalism, and that's the way Bob Jones is going. They got a new songbook, and it's for some of those authors he titled, Townend and Getty. And I just was wondering if Bob Jones is... you're running into missionaries from Bob Jones over in Australia, and I'll hang up and then you talk from there.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Let's wave to Rob in Chicago. Thank you, Rob. Winograd, okay.
Well, I haven't run into the Bob Jones and the CCM down there, but they are into the Calvinism, or pushing the Puritans, which is the beginning, I think, of the new Calvinism that's going around. It's quite rampant. But on the evangelism side, we started looking in the newspaper at who's had a baby recently. And so Mom would make what were you making, a blanket? A blanket. And so we had these Divine King James Bibles. And then we would go by the home, present the blanket, talk to the people a little while, and also present the Bible. We've not seen anything out of that. But you never know what's down the road. You know, maybe, hopefully at my age, if the Lord tarries, hopefully what we're doing is laying the foundation so that somebody else can come in and hopefully build on it. Because I don't know what the Lord will do. We haven't seen anything much that we can see in the time that we've been there.
All right. Any other first-time questioners? Or second time? Your second-time question? Oh, there's Faith. Go ahead, Faith.
Do some of these people dance in church because of the Bible saying King David danced before the Lord?
Well, that's part of it.
You think that's part of it?
See, they do take a lot. If you're going to take music anyway, they have to take most of it from the Old Testament. A little bit from Revelation. But most of it from the Old Testament, bring it in and say, well, if they did it there... But they don't want anything else from the Old Testament, you know, like holy living and all the rest of it. But let's bring this music and the dancing. And what was David dancing in? his underwear. I mean, if you're going to do this kind of thing, you know, but
that'll come next.
That'll come next.
Another first time question. Anybody? First time. First time. Second time. Go ahead, Kathy. Got a second.
How you end up being Australia? How you end up being Australia?
How'd you end up being Australia?
Why did you choose that nation?
Why did you go out there? Maybe it'll be 35
Number
years
two,
ago.
When were you called to be a missionary?
When were you called?
How did you know that was your calling?
How did you know? When and how?
Well, it was in 1970. When did I say let's go to Australia? 1975, 76. I'd been a pastor, and I don't know, the Lord just opened it up that let's go to Australia. I'd like to say it was a real...
that one missionary that...
Yeah, we had a missionary with the Bible Baptist, Baptist Bible Fellowship that had been in Australia, and that had opened up at least our understanding to Australia as a field. But the Lord just moved me. My wife's always been willing to go wherever I went. And so I wanted to go to Australia. I hate to use the word want, but to go to Australia. And we've never thought about going anywhere else.
Did ABWE give you the calling or choice?
No, no. No, we chose ABWE. But this is the thing I lay down to the schools, is that in school, all you learn about is in missions, you learn about early missions, but William Carey went out under a mission board, didn't do anything for him, but you had to have a mission board, and that's what's taught in the schools. And so I wasn't smart enough to read the scriptures to find out mission boards aren't in the scriptures. You can't find them. The only boards E.L. Bynum talks about is the boards upon which the shipwreck, when Paul, what is it, Acts 27? So that's the only boards there are in the Bible. And that was from a shipwreck. Well, a lot of lives have been shipwrecked. You do need to know, has God, one, called you to preach? I won't get into this because I know there's some that don't agree with me, but missionaries is Latin for the Greek apostle. And all the apostles were men. This is something I preach, okay? That for a preacher, we're to be a man. And if a woman wanted to be a single woman and go out, I'd call her something other than a missionary. I'd call her... That's what ABWE did. They used Bible women, teacher, whatever the case might be. We're all witnesses. We're all to spread the message. But to preach the gospel, only a man. Anyway, God called me to preach way before I went to Bible college. And so God just through various means directed us to Australia. Some of it, I look back. I really do. I don't know about you, what you do in your life, but I look at it and I think, I was so ignorant and I was so... didn't understand it. But I look at it and think, you know, God works those things to His glory or to His benefit. And it ends up to my benefit. But He works through my inconsistencies. And we left the ministry or left the pastorate, and going on deputation was hard. I mean, 3 years, four kids out there going from the East Coast to the West Coast, down to the South and up to the North. And I was working 40, 50 hours a week and all of this. And I look at it, but God was faithful. We finally got there. And now we're to this place. And
Dr. Bennett, how did you hear about our church? And what caused you to question, would we like to be a sponsor for you as a missionary to send you out? How did you hear about it?
Well, I was talking to my wife this morning. I talk to her quite often.
Oh, you do?
This morning I mentioned to her, I said, you know, brother, our pastor before, not Brother Keith, but the other, held to derivative inspiration. And actually we would have had to leave over that, probably, over the situation. But Dr. Waite, ever since I can remember, when I was a pastor in Minnesota, I'd get these things in the mail, and it was from this guy out east that was pushing this thing about King James Bible and Textus Receptus. And I usually read it and then put it aside and never looked at it again. But when I did read Revision Revised, a man in our church that was King James only, he said, have you heard about the Dean Burgon Society? And guess who was the president? Dr. Waite. So that led me then to know you more and to your church. So God just leads in various different ways. That's
other questions. First timers or second timers or third timers? Yes. Okay, it's Eddie.
Yeah.
Question.
So listen, I'm not here to argue with anybody. I just have a question. So you're saying it's a bad thing to play a musical instrument in church and to dance around and to praise God? Is that what you're saying?
Okay,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing to play a musical instrument in church.
It says right in the Bible, praise God with trumpet, doesn't it?
Where does it say it?
I don't know, but it does because I read it.
Well, you show it to a man, I'll read it.
Okay.
But it's in the Old Testament.
Well, look at a concordance. Get a concordance right now.
It's in the Old Testament.
I don't know where it is, but...
But if you can find it in the Acts...
I know they're fine because it's in there.
Okay, but if you can find it in the Acts or in one of the church epistles, I'll read it and I'll talk to you about it. But you're not going to find it.
What is your definition, Dr. Bennett, of dispensationalism? He needs to...
Well... Dispensationalism, you just read your Bible. I know people argue over this, and...
I'm not arguing.
No, I'm not arguing with you.
Let him
answer. People will argue that there are no dispensations, but you read the Bible. I have met people, and they say, I don't believe that. I said, okay, I understand that. All of us have been taught by somebody. I have sat under many a teacher. The pastor I got saved under was a tremendous teacher. Never went to Bible college. Tremendous teacher. I didn't know what dispensationalism is. I mean, a 10-year-old boy, how many would understand dispensationalism? I didn't even know how to spell it. May not now. I don't know. But he had this big chart. And I loved to watch Pastor Day teach on this chart. Now I know it's dispensationalism. But the whole thing is, you start in Genesis. And you finish in Revelation. You do that. And I don't know where you stand on these things. I know where Dr. Waite does. And if you belong here and come here, I know where you would stand. But you read that.